Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study.
And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. What do we see in Isaiah 6? The Lord sitting on the throne. It's judgment day. And one sat on the throne. Why do they capitalize the word one? Because it's the Lord. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. What are those two stones known for? The first and last stone of the breastplate of the high priest. Where in the book of Hebrews chapter 9 is Messiah called our high priest? Hebrews chapter 9. Yeah. And there was a rainbow around the throne. Everybody misses this. Not everybody. You guys all catch it. What was the rainbow? It was the sign of the covenant in Genesis chapter 9. People say, oh, God threw out the old covenant. Really? There's no rainbows anymore? Sure there are. And the rainbow around the throne is, as God promised in Genesis 9, never again would there be judgment without mercy through Messiah. Messiah is the mercy. So it's around his throne, in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. Are those angels? No. Are they disembodied spirits? No. The white robes and crowns are rewards we get. When do we get our rewards, the Bible says? At his coming. At his coming. So these are people who were caught up in the rapture and the resurrection. I've told it before. I think it's the 12 patriarchs and the 12 apostles. But when we get there, we'll ask them if we still are that curious. And they're clothed in white robes. They had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Why voices? Kolot. Kolot, yes. All the languages of all the known worlds. Why?
Not everybody speaks this language.
Ah, so you mean in the resurrected and raptured saints, there's people from all nations? That's the only reason that God would need to speak in all the languages of the known world, right? Right. Just like in Exodus 19, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. If that confuses you, read Isaiah chapter what?
11.
Before the throne, there was a sea of glass like crystal. That is the wash basin outside of the temple. It was for the mikvah, the immersion baths of the priests. It's therefore cleansing and purity. In the midst of the throne, around the throne, were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Those are the angelic beings that were singing.
Right.
Yes, sir.
Was it Sea of Glass? Is that the same one where the tribulation saints or martyrs were asking how long?
Yeah.
Same.
In verse 8, the four living creatures, each having six wings, just like in Isaiah 6, verse 2, were full of eyes around and within. They do not rest day or night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. So Isaiah and John, in vision, saw the same thing. Chapter 5, verse 1. So the raptured and resurrected saints are before the throne of God. This is the Bema Seat judgment, and they're receiving their rewards according to their works. Verse 1 of chapter 5 says, and I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Have you heard of the seven seals of the book of Revelation? This is the first mention of the seven seals. Notice that they are still sealed after the rapture and resurrection has taken place. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? and no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much, because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." Who's that? That's Messiah Yeshua. The root of David. The root of David. That means he came before David.
Almost makes you think he's Jewish.
Yeah, true enough. Has prevailed to open a scroll and loose his seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain. That's Messiah. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And those people that are in heaven wearing robes and crowns sing a song in verse 9. Keep a finger here and go back to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 19. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and what? Sing, you who dwell in dust. Here they are singing in Revelation chapter 5. Having come up to the bridal chambers in the Father's house, they're singing. Go to Revelation 5, 9. Let's see what they sing. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." Who's the you? Messiah Yeshua. "And have redeemed us to God by your blood." Oh, are these angels singing? Have angels been redeemed to God by the blood of Messiah? No, these are people. "Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." Some post-tribbers say this has got to be the 24 elders. No. 24 elders came from every tribe and tongue and people and nation? Nope. "And have made us kings and priests to our God." Oh, that's the promise of Revelation 1:6 given to all believers. "And we shall reign on the earth." So verses 9 and 10 are the song referenced in Isaiah 26:19, sung by all the believers who have been raptured and resurrected, given our robes and crowns, and are singing before the Lord before he does what? Before he opens the first seal. Revelation 6:1.
You know what?
Yep, go ahead. Yes, they were.
How can you think that you're going to be a priest if you don't even follow the command? It just makes no sense at all.
Makes no sense at all. In fact, we're going to follow up on that point in just a minute. But first, Revelation 6:1. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals." Where are the raptured and resurrected saints when Messiah opens that first seal? In heaven. When I talk to people who are post-tribulationists and I say, "Who's that singing Revelation 5:9? They say, "We have no idea. We just don't want to talk about those verses." Well, of course not. But these are out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Having been given the roles of kings and priests promised by the Lord to the believers in Revelation 1:6. Let's just flip back to Revelation 1:6 and make sure I don't have that wrong. "And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And has made us what? Kings and priests. So that's the raptured and resurrected saints. Does Revelation describe the characteristics of the saints? Let's go to Revelation 12:17 first, and then to 14:12, because they both tell us the characteristics or how you will recognize the saints. Verse 17, "And the dragon," that's Satan, "was enraged with the woman," that's Israel, "and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring." These are the believers who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. What does that word "and" mean?
In addition to,
as in both. They observe the commandments of God, have the testimony of Yeshua the Messiah. Got to tell you, Jack Hibbs was on a good roll until he just let me down. He referred to Matthew chapter 24 as a proof of the pre-tribulation rapture because it says right after verse 14, pray that it not be on the Sabbath. And he said, well, the Sabbath means nothing to me, so this proves that the church isn't here. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. They use the word saints. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. It's verses like this that make me feel very unsure about the salvation of many in the church who say out and out, like Jack did, that the law doesn't apply to me. I'm following God's commandments. What are they going to do when they get to judgment day and the Lord says, I'm here to judge to see how you follow my commandments. And Jack's going to say, hey, that's easy. I didn't have any commandments to follow. Just open a gate. I worry, worry, worry. Okay. The argument that there are no scriptures that teach the pre-tribulation rapture is fallacious. I think for the most part, people are just repeating what they've heard. Like this young lady was saying, well, I heard somebody, she didn't even know who, say that it's not in the Bible, so therefore it can't be true. But it is in the Bible. Look at Revelation 15, verse 3. This is the song of Moses that we sang last week. I just love it so much. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb. It's the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. Is there any disagreement between the two? Is there a big dividing wall? One says one says the other. No, and the word say means, this is a quote, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. This is just a few verses after Revelation 14:12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Yeshua. Verse 4 of Revelation 15, part of the song says, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations. What's all nations?
Everybody,
Jew and Gentile alike, shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Almost done. One more point on the pre-tribulation rapture before I give it up, and I will have either made my case or not. And that is to go to the book of Zechariah. You know what? I may have to go to two more places.
Okay.
First, let's go to Joel. I told you, I'm thinking on the fly. Ask your question.
What about the Song of Moses in Exodus?
Yep, it's from Exodus that they get the Song of Moses in Revelation. In other words, it's from the Torah. Well, they didn't give us the whole song. They didn't want to take up the whole book. Yeah. No, it's a good point. What does the scripture say? If everything the Lord ever did was recorded, the world couldn't hold all the books. So we wanted to go to the book of Joel as well as Zechariah 14. So when you find Zechariah 14, put a pin in it and go to Joel. Because Joel tells us when Messiah comes out of the wedding chamber, believe it or not. And Joel's right after Hosea, right? Hosea, salvation. Joel is Yael, the Lord is God. Joel chapter 2 lays out for us the 7-year tribulation period from start to finish. Joel chapter 2 begins with the rapture and the resurrection at the Feast of Trumpets. In Joel 2, 1, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion. It doesn't say which trumpet, but it's about to show us which one. And sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, or the inhabitants of the world tremble. You can translate it either way. For the day of the Lord is coming, for it is at hand. It's right here. The rapture and the resurrection precedes the tribulation period by a few days. That's why it's at hand. It's here. So this trumpet is the last trumpet, if you want to write that in your notes. This is the last trumpet. It signals the rapture and the resurrection, and a few days later begins the tribulation period. Look at verse 6. Before then, the people writhe in pain. All faces are drained of color. They run like mighty men. They climb the wall like men of war. Everyone marches in formation. These are the battles that are going on in the tribulation period. Verse 10, the earth quakes before them. The heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark. And the stars diminish their brightness. Verse 12, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So even in the tribulation period, the Lord is calling for people to repent. In fact, what's the first thing that happens in Revelation chapter 7 before the wars begin? 144,000 Jewish men that are virgins are sealed. They're saved and sealed and sent out to the world like 144,000 Apostle Pauls. And there are two witnesses in Jerusalem as the 144,000 teach throughout the world. Verse 13, so rend your heart, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God. What does the word return mean? Repent. Verse 15, here's the end of the tribulation period. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. What's the only commanded fast in the scripture? Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Which trumpet blows on Yom Kippur? The great trumpet, the Shofar HaGadol. The first trumpet, that's at the Feast of Weeks, or Shavuot, from Exodus chapter 19. The last trumpet, that's the rapture and resurrection at Yom Teruah, at the first day of Tishri. And then at the return of the Lord for the Battle of Armageddon is the great trumpet that sounds at Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement. Consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children nursing babes, and let the bridegroom go out from his chamber and the bride from her dressing room. So they're leaving what? The bridal chamber. When did they leave the bridal chamber? After the tribulation, when the Lord returns for Armageddon. Why does the bride come out of the dressing room and go with the bridegroom? Where did they go? First, let's look at verse 18. Then the Lord will be zealous for his land, that is Israel, and pity his people. And that is the Lord returning. Now go to Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, start in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming. Same thing we read in Joel, right? Associated with the blowing of the last trumpet. And your spoil will be divided in your midst. That means Jerusalem is going to be smitten by enemies. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Which nations? All the nations. That's not Armageddon. Yes, it is. Thank you very much. Was waiting. Because there are a lot of people look at this and go, this is the battle of Gog and Magog. But the battle of Gog and Magog isn't all the nations. It's Russia, Iran, and their Muslim allies. This is all the nations. There are different people involved. This is Armageddon, which means we're at the end of the tribulation period. The city shall be taken, the house is rifled, the women ravished, the house shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then, when the tribulation period has come to an end, the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Where has he been during the tribulation period? He's been in the bridal chamber. But now he leaves the bridal chamber and he comes for Armageddon. And in that day, what day? Day of the Lord. His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And then it all breaks loose. And look at the last sentence of verse 5. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. The saints cannot come from heaven with the Lord unless they were in heaven with the Lord. We saw in Joel, the Lord comes from the bridal chamber and the bride from her dressing room, which is part of the bridal chamber, as the bride returns with the bridegroom at Armageddon.
Hey, Wayne.
Yes, sir.
You know, it's an interesting thing. You know, I have never, ever heard anybody explain with a post-tribulation rapture, you know, teaching when all of this stuff takes place. It's like, it's so vague. With anybody that teaches a pre-tribulation rapture, they say it happens this. But with post-tribulation rapture, it's always so cloudy and so vague. Like, okay, so if we're caught up, do we just come right back? Is it like a U-turn?
Yeah, that's exactly what they teach. Is you go up for a few seconds and then you turn down. So you don't go up to the bridal chamber, but the Bible says you do. Right, the Bible says you go to the bridal chamber before the indignation is poured out. How do we know that this is Armageddon at the end of the tribulation period? Look at verse 12. And this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. And then verse 16, and it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, so this is after Armageddon is over, they shall go up from year to year to worship the King, Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now the Lord is on earth. So where are all the saints who are caught up to be always with the Lord? They return with the Lord. And they will be on the earth from that point forward, as Messiah is on the earth from that point forward.
So the 144,000, they don't become believers until after the saints are gone.
They're not saved before the rapture, or they would be going in the rapture. So they can't get saved until they see the rapture and go, those crazy old believers, they were right.
But surely
I'm sure the Lord's been working on their hearts all along. They're just not ready. What did they say to Paul? You almost persuade me. I was listening to a messianic believer in Israel that's part of the ministries called One for Israel. And he said, you wouldn't believe how fast Jewish people are coming to the Lord in Israel today. It's amazing. But not everyone. But many of those that are left behind going, no, can't be. When they see the rapture, are going to go, I guess it can be.
So it couldn't be that the Lord doesn't let them see for a reason because he wants them to stay?
That can be exactly it. And he's going to protect them, and the false Messiah can't hurt them. Why doesn't he? Well, if there is no pre-tribulation rapture, why does he need 144,000 Jewish people to get saved to share the gospel if the church is all over the world?
And the Jewish people will know Torah.
And the Jewish people will know Torah.
Which is why they are able to go out and teach, because they know it.
Yep. How many times have I said to my messianic brethren who say, the church doesn't deserve to get raptured? And I say, well, I agree with that. But what would the church try and do to the plan of God if they were here? when the temple starts and they start sacrificing animals, what would the church do? It'd lose its mind. It would do everything it could do to stop the plan of God from coming to fruition, wouldn't it? Okay, enough said. And with that, either you do believe that there's a pre-tribulation rapture, or there may not be one for you. Go ahead, ask your question.
To me that the Jewish people were the bride of the Father, and the Christians were the bride of Messiah.
Nope.
That's what I was talking
about. I've been taught that too, that in Exodus chapter 19, the Father took a bride, but the church is the bride of Messiah. Who is the Lord? It's the same Lord. It's the same bride. That's why it's not a brand new covenant. It's a renewed covenant. And what are the Gentile believers? They are grafted into Israel. It's not something new. Susie, do you have a question?
Wayne, that was awesome.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm not going to mute you unless you got more to say.
I can't wait to listen.
Okay. The people who teach that Israel was the bride of God and the church is the bride of Messiah, they don't understand who Messiah is. In my opinion, I could be wrong. But just for grins, turn up to Romans. Romans. Chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. Find me some place in the scripture where it says, call on the name of Jesus and you will be saved. There isn't one. It says, call in the name of what? The Lord. The Lord. And look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. That if you confess with your mouth, what? The Lord, Yeshua. And believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Why does it throw in the Lord?
Because he is the Lord.
And that's all over the New Testament. Now let's go back to just about... Esther?
Pastor.
Yes, Esther.
Pastor.
Yes, Esther.
Why is there, then, you said that called on the Lord and not Jesus, since they are the same person, three in one or three? No.
You and I agree.
There's no difference if we could call on Jesus' name and then you... and. Says call on the Lord, isn't it they are the same?
You and I agree that Yeshua is the Lord, but most of the church disagrees with that. Turn back to Exodus. Turn back to Exodus. We could go 1,000 places, but we'll just go to one. Back to the book of Exodus. Chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. Look at verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, verse 12, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, and they want to say, yeah, but the Lord here isn't the Lord there. In the New Testament.
John 1.
And what does the name Isaiah mean? I forget. The Lord is salvation, or Yeshua is the Lord. That's what you see over and over and over throughout what we call the Old Testament is, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying. In chapter 32, verse 14, so the Lord relented.